Hello and welcome to another episode of the Diminutive Collection. Now, as Kieran mentioned last week, he is currently living it up in New York like a Sex and the City girl. So today I'm joined by an old friend of the show, Nathan. Hello, Nathan. How are you?
I'm good, Christian. How are you?
I'm fine and dandy. So how does it feel squeezing into Kieran's gap?
Oh, well, I'll do my best to fill the space.
He does leave a very large space, but I'm sure lots of our listeners know that already. Now, this week, Nathan, it doesn't seem like there's much going on in the world of Kylie. But one thing that is happening this week is there's the streaming of the disco extended mixes, which is very, very exciting because a lot of people are moaning that you can only get it on vinyl. So it's quite exciting, don't you? Have you listened to any of these extended versions yet?
I have listened to all of them. So I may have a digital copy of the extended mixes with some crackling in the background.
Oh,
I'm looking forward to getting a proper digital version, and my hopefully my extended mixes vinyl will arrive. I think it's shipping tomorrow with the slipcase. So I'm Friday rather.
Because you're like Kieran with all your different formats. But what did you make of those extended mixes? I thought they made the song sound so much better than they were originally, and I don't know why we didn't get them like that in the first place.
Oh, I love them. I think they're all really brilliant. I think a lot of them are better than I won't say that are better than the originals, but certainly very different. And the my favorite ones, Miss a Thing and Where Does the DJ Go and Dance Floor Darling. They're so much better extended. I really love them.
I mean, I guess we're listening to it. We listen to the extended versions after we've heard the original one. So there's like new elements that kind of excite us. Because when I played them back, to me, I just thought to myself, my God, these are fantastic. But I didn't understand why we didn't get them as the deluxe version that we just had recently. I don't know why they didn't come on that album, because it did feel a bit of a swizz when we were getting the same album plus a bunch of remixes and three new songs.
Yeah, I kind of wondered the same thing, but then I wondered if it's not just to kind of prolong the campaign a bit. So, you get a little bump this weekend with the extended mixes being available.
Well, exactly. And what did you make of the three songs?
Second to Midnight, I like. It was more of a grower for me, and the video is really fun. Kiss of Life, I love. I have it on repeat. It's amazing, and the video is really fun. It reminds me of Army of Lovers video.
What a reference. And I can't even mention that, but it's very them, isn't it?
It really is. The way it's all kind of frenetic and sped up a bit, it really reminded me of that. Whatever their video is where they go in the basement of the garage when the guy's working on the car and they're being chased around by someone in like a mechanic wheelchair. I can't remember what the song was, but yeah. But anyway, that's what it made me think of. But the Gloria Gaynor duet, I really don't like, I have to say.
Ah, that's one that Kieran really liked. Now, it's funny because the three of us are very different, because I loved the Second to Midnight straight away. I loved it. I thought it was very, very PWL, very poppy. It took me a couple of weeks to really like Kiss of Life. And now I actually can't get out of my head. I really love listening to it and I really like it. I can really hear the tune now. Initially, I didn't hear the tune. The Gloria Gaynor one I do like, but as I said at the time, I always find the production a bit too heavy and a bit clunky for what is actually quite a light and a really nice melody. It just seems a little bit dragged down by the stompy backing track. But maybe when we see them perform it, or when we see them sing it in the video, we may like the song more.
Yeah, and I think that, I think that one could actually really benefit from an extended mix, because at the end, I think the end of that song is really funky, and I'd like to just hear that.
Oh, but that's coming out in January, the Gloria Gaynor song, isn't it? So we'll see a video around January time, so that's a great way to start the new year. Other things in the news this week, Rolling Stone in Australia has published its 200 greatest Aussie albums of all time, mm-hmm. and there's only one Kylie album that's featured, and it's Fever. It's at number 10, and in it they've explained why it's in their top 200. They say that listening to Kylie Minogue's Fever feels like being penetrated slowly by a strobe light. Stylistically, Fever marked a drastic departure from her earlier work. The self-ordained pop princess reinvented herself once again as a cyborgian sex symbol. If Bob Marley's music sounds like How Getting Stoned Feels, then Kylie Minogue's Fever is the soundtrack to ecstasy. Now, what do you make of it? Do you think Fever deserves to be in that top 200? Or should it have actually been Impossible Princess, which is completely radical and completely different to anything she'd ever done?
Well, I think it should be both, to be honest. I do think Fever is amazing. And when I listen to it, it still sounds fresh. And I can listen to it the whole way through. There isn't any song that I skip over. But I think Impossible Princess I love, but it's probably just not mainstream enough to make that kind of a list, and I think that,
I mean, surely there's not that many rock bands in Australia, so I mean surely she could have had a couple of albums in there. But I'm surprised, because I thought that Impossible Princess had such a good reception in Australia that it would have been at least considered somewhere in that top 200, even if it's quite low down, because it did quite well over there as well, I believe.
That's true. So, it was really popular, and her tour was extended to support it, wasn't it? And it was really successful. So yeah, maybe it should have made the list, but I just think it's one of those albums that's never gonna make a list like that, because it just wasn't mainstream. No.
And I guess Fever was a global sensation, and maybe some of the criteria for the list was albums that have traveled further than the Australian borders. Anything else in the news this week that's caught your eye, Kylie Wise?
It was a quiet week. I mean, she did release the video of the performance from the Fashion Awards, didn't she?
She did, and it was great because she did the version from Infinite Disco, and it looked amazing on stage. Now, I mentioned last week that my lovely husband, he was working on that, doing the dancer's hair. Now, from what I could see, they were wearing like headpieces. So, did you see any hair?
No, I couldn't really see any hair. I just.
Oh, so I'm quite sure what he was doing. This is pubic hair they were having to deal with, but I couldn't see that either. But it was a very, unusual set of outfits. But the performance I thought was brilliant. What did you make of the performance?
Yeah, no, I loved the performance. I wish I could have been there. I thought it was really cool. I can't help but wonder if it's not a little teaser for what she might do on her next live show.
The fact that she's already kind of getting things like this together suggests that perhaps she's already thinking creatively about what we could expect in the new year. And I'm sure at some point soon we're going to hear about some tour dates, as long as that nasty old COVID thing doesn't ruin our plans yet again, because poor old Steps had to recently cancel the final few shows because of their team being riddled with COVID.
Yeah.
One thing I did like in that video, though, is at the end, Billy Porter comes racing up to Kylie and grabs him. And I thought she looked like she wanted to wriggle free. So I'm wondering if she was just worried that maybe she, you know, she wanted to keep her social distancing.
She was trying to socially distance.
she looked a tiny bit awkward to me. It was a bit of a surprise. Him come racing up and towering over her with his, you know, big American arms.
That's Americans for you, though, isn't it?
They can't help themselves. They're attention seekers. Now, moving away from the news, because there's nothing else to talk about. Not even a Hello magazine picture. We're going to go on to step back in time and take a trip back a couple of years to some notable Kylie moments. Yes. And again, it's not particularly a thriving period of time, but there's a couple of things we can look at. And one of them was the Christmas Albert Hall shows that she did. And she did them over 2 years, one in 2015 and two shows in 2016. Mm-hmm. Now, we all went to those, didn't we?
I went to all three, yeah.
What were your key memories from those shows? Because over the 2 years, the shows changed quite a lot, didn't they? We had John Grant in the second one. Mm-hmm. We had Ollie Alexander in the first one.
I think that my main memory from the first one was that I was pretty close to the front, and when right before Danny came out, I could see a little hand poking through the little shimmery curtain in the back, and I thought, oh God, wow, she's really going to come out and do the duet. So everyone was, you know, everyone went bonkers. And the one I remember from the second one was actually sitting with Kieran, and we were kind of behind the stage, and I could see the teleprompter before she started the song, so I knew what the songs were going to be before she actually opened her mouth. And I thought it was really funny that the teleprompter had all the la la la's when she did Can't Get Out of My Head.
Well, just in case she forgets, I mean, just it's very hard to
forget a la.
Well, I hope she didn't skip any. I love those two shows. I thought they were so amazing, and they were so festive and fun, and they made me feel very warm inside, and everyone was really friendly and lovely. And I mean, I do remember in the first year I was a little bit put off by Ollie Alexander, because I kind of felt that his vocals didn't quite fit into the Better Than Devil, you know. It was maybe
was
not
so
quite,
nervous, quite pitch.
Yes, but he's got better. I mean, he's been very good recently when he's been performing with Kylie. But I think at the time maybe he was he was really nervous, because you know, having to sing with a legend like Kylie must be quite hard. And she also had Pretenders star
Chrissy Hynde.
Thank you. Yes, I was waiting for you to say the name, because I didn't want to. I wanted to share the sentence with you there. So she came on to sing 2,000 Miles, and she was brilliant.
Yeah, she was amazing. What a weird, you know, I never thought I'd see those two on stage together.
But it's funny, isn't it? Because, you know, probably about 20 years ago when Kylie was singing I Should Be So Lucky, you'd never expect Chrissy Hynde and her to be performing on stage. So, you know, she really did kind of build up her part over the years, didn't she? Mm-hmm. But the second year, I loved the John Grant duet on Confide in Me. I thought his voice sounded so amazing in that middle bit. It just sounded, it was kind of weirdly sexy, and it just gave the song a completely different dynamic, and I really loved it. And I wish there was a recorded version with his deep vocals on it.
Yeah, I'd never heard of him before I saw him on the show. So then I, you know, went and researched him, and you're right, it made the song really masculine. You know, it's always, I guess when you hear her sing it, you always think of it as kind of a feminine song, but it actually completely changed the dynamic.
Yeah, it made it feel like it was almost like from a musical, because it sounded like he was like the daddy figure in a little bit like an Orson Welles. I mean, he was kind of similar to Orson Welles in a way. He's got that look, like the War of the Worlds.
In Denial Part 2?
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking. Oh, and actually, it's funny you should mention In Denial, because my dream was always for In Denial to be a Christmas single, which now we're at Christmas, I can say it. And in my head, I had this brilliant idea for the video where Neil and Kylie were standing in Seven Dials in London,
yeah.
And it was all covered in snow. And they were at either side of the street, and they would just be singing to each other across this snow-swept Seven Dials. And it would have been beautiful. And they never released it. That video never happened, so it's in my head.
Well, maybe it could be. Maybe they could make it a Christmas promo for shopping in Covent Garden, and they could change the lyrics to "You're in Seven Dials."
There you go. My God, that's very clever. Well done. That was off the top of your head, I remember.
Just off the top of my head. I'm here all week.
Well, that's good. But maybe Kieran doesn't need to come back. Yes, yeah. And the other thing I loved on that show was obviously Your Disco Needs You. And Catherine Jenkins came out wearing her lovely little majorette's outfit, which I thought was very exciting.
Yeah, and the cape had a rainbow inside it. Do you remember that?
I do remember. One of my other favourite moments was during that song, she had one of her dancers, his name's Ben something. I can't remember his surname. I think it's quite a short surname. But he was the one who was stripped on the X tour during the retro section in the towel and wearing the rubber wig. Mm-hmm. And you can see him writhing and dancing shirtless behind Kylie. And that was one of my favorite moments. I didn't know what to do with myself until I was in a private room.
I don't remember that. I'll have to go and see if I can find a clip.
Find it on YouTube, and a warning, take some wet wipes.
Oh, okay.
Other things happened in 2020. Kylie announced that Real Groove was being released, and she did that on Graham Norton's morning show on Radio 2, or as Kieran likes to call it, BBC 2. It's Radio 2, but, you know, in his head it's Radio 2. It's BBC 2, bless him. I loved watching her on the Dua Lipa live stream. I thought it was really good, really sassy, and I still wonder how Kylie did it, bearing in mind we were all going to be socially distancing. Mm-hmm. But I didn't think the single was as exciting as it could have been, because I always thought that we needed to hear more of Dua, because I couldn't really hear on it.
Yeah, it's definitely Kylie still dominates the track. It's not really a duet, is it, at all? But I liked watching the Dua Lipa special, but I really thought Kylie showed up everyone else that was on the show, because she's so much more experienced.
No, she just prowled through that crowd. She was like some kind of panther cruising through that dance floor, knowing exactly where she was going, lying and writhing on that DJ booth. Oh my God, she was absolutely sensational. I don't know why they should have released that. Maybe they should have released that clip as a video to go with it, because I think perhaps if we'd seen it more, then people might have got a bit more excited. We could have seen who was singing what. But then the remix that came a few months later, that was the one that tickled my fancy.
I really like that too.
It's like the thing with Jessie Ware. I didn't really like the song until I saw the two of them perform it. And I think if I'd seen them perform it again, Dua and Kylie, I think I would have... I mean, I love the song, so don't get me wrong, I love the song. But I think people who didn't know the song, if they'd seen it, it would have been a bigger hit. But yeah. Because Dua and Elton John had a number one. Why the hell did we get a Kylie number one with Dua Lipa? Because she's got such a massive fan base.
Yeah.
It's a mystery to me. It really is.
Yeah, good question.
Now I'm feeling that we need to bring a third into our group. I feel like I'm introducing you to a threesome here. It's going to be a foursome, because Kieran will be back momentarily as we head off to sunny Australia to meet a lovely chap called Steve, who once lived in the UK and then moved to Australia. And we spoke to him just before Kieran went away to New York. So for those of you missing Kieran's dulcet tones, here's Kieran and here's Steve. Hello, Steve.
Hello.
Hi.
Lovely to meet you.
Lovely to meet you too.
So, Steve, before we start, tell us.
Yes.
Let's do a Sula moment. Who are you? What do you do? Where do you come from?
My name is Steve. I live in Sydney, Australia, but I'm originally from the UK. A little place you may have heard of called Essex.
What part?
It's a place called Upminster. It's the very last stop on the district line.
It is the last stop on the district line. Yes, yes, yes.
So it used to be kind of handy if you had, you know, fall asleep for what no whatever reason on the tube, you'd always wake up at the right spot.
How long have you been in Sydney for?
I've been here this time since 2012. So I'm just about to hit, it was January 2012. So I'm just about to hit 10 years. But I also lived in Sydney between 2003 and 2006. I was backpacking after university.
Oh, right.
And I was only supposed to be in Sydney for 6 months, but found myself there for 3 years and went home. And then, yeah, just decided to come back for one reason or another in 2012. And I've been here ever since.
Nice. So you come from a Kylie background set in the UK then?
Yes, I do. Yeah. So I've seen both sides of the Kylie fandom.
Yeah. Which one's better?
I'm going to have to say the UK.
Of course.
It's better because there's more of a respect for Kylie in the UK. Here, really? Yeah. Here, it's more of like she abandoned us amongst the general population.
Yeah.
The two different sides to the story of her moving back to Australia are completely different as well.
Oh my God.
In Australia, it seems to be like she's coming home, yay. And then in the UK, she seems to be kind of going, well, I'll just be based there. I'll be in the UK all the time. Don't worry. Whereas, in Australia, it's more like she's coming home. She's never leaving.
Yeah, you won't let her go again. In Sydney, actually, just out of interest, there's that Bar Kylie that I see a lot on online. And
yes.
Diago, does he teach you there? He does, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yes, he does, yeah.
Because it sounds amazing. Is it just a Kylie-themed bar or is it just what is it?
It is incredible. It's so much fun. Yeah, it's just Kylie, 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 Kylie. With a smidge of Danny chucked in, just for fun.
Of course. That's how it should be, a smidge.
Yeah.
So what, is it just literally Kylie songs all the time?
It's original Kylie tracks, it's remixes, there's drag competitions. So there's a theme of what... if you want to dress up as Kylie, there's a certain theme of what you dress up as, and then they have a competition halfway through. And then there's a drag performer called Millie Minogue, and she performs a few numbers from Kylie's kind of live back
catalog. Every day?
No, it's on certain occasions. So there's a Mardi Gras one, it's Kylie's birthday, and Christmas.
The Kylie's birthday should be a national holiday in Australia anyway.
Well, it kind of is because everybody goes to Bar Kylie
and just calls in sick the next day off
work. Yeah.
God, I see that all the time.
It's usually in Melbourne, but then they every now and again will do one in Sydney as well because Argonaut lives in Melbourne, but he'll come down to Sydney for Mardi Gras and occasionally for Kylie's birthday as well.
So, growing up in the UK, you discovered her from Neighbours, right?
Well, I think so. Yeah, I was kind of, before coming on here, I was thinking about my history and where it kind of happened. And I can't remember if it was Neighbours or I Should Be So Lucky. It's so blurry. I think they kind of happened at once because I was only seven. I thought I was, you know, so coy about everything. But yeah, I remember being obsessed with Neighbours and being obsessed with I Should Be So Lucky at the same time. So I think they kind of happened.
Like a perfect explosion all at once.
Oh, yes.
It was I Should Be So Lucky, a song that you fell in love with at seven. You probably thought was the greatest song you've ever heard.
I was quite a pretentious music fan I was really, really young. I loved Squeeze, you know, Jules Holland's band, and New Order and Depeche Mode.
At seven?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And Kylie. So I kind of, I feel like I discovered Can't Get Blue Monday out of my head very early on.
So when you kind of got used to her, when you got the first album, and obviously you'd heard I Should Be So Lucky, and Locomotion, all that kind of stuff. So what did you make of those kind of early years of PWL? Were you a massive fan of that? And were you fans of the other artists like Jason and Sonia?
Mel and Kim. I was singing along to Mel and Kim yesterday, actually, funny enough, in a bar. No, amazing. Terrible. Yeah, I was a huge PWL fan. I think it all spawned from I Should Be So Lucky, because then I got the Kylie album for my eighth birthday, because looking back now, I think the Kylie album and my eighth birthday all happened in the same week. So God knows how I felt that week. It must have been incredible. And yeah, I remember having the Hit Factory album, which was like a triple album with everything. Who are the ones? The Reynolds Girls, I'd Rather Jack. That was a big one.
Terrible song.
Have you listened to it recently?
No.
It's aged well, I think. It's aged very well. That was on the Hit Factory 3, wasn't it?
Yes. Let's say yes.
I'd like to say it. Just before you came on, I was listening to All of Me by Sabrina, which is on the Hit Factory 2 album.
So underrated, Sabrina. She had great songs.
Boys, Boys, Boys and All of Me were pretty amazing. And they did sound exactly the same, but it's fine.
She did a duet with Samantha Fox recently called Call Me. Look it up. It's so fucking good. It's so good.
Is she?
Yes! Like, literally, Google.
It's live performances, isn't it? The two of them doing it together.
Oh, yeah. It's good.
Very good. Because Samantha Fox is now like a lesbian bar owner or something, isn't she? That's her claim to fame.
Pretty much.
More than a singer, yeah.
So, like, out of all those kind of Stock Aitken and Waterman albums, which would be your favourite?
Well, we have to say Rhythm of Love, don't we?
Well, you don't have to.
Mine's Enjoy Yourself, so...
See, with Enjoy Yourself, I find the tracks that are really good are fantastic. And the tracks that aren't good, I can't even remember. You know, like Heaven on Earth, I think that was called Heaven on Earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was pretty terrible. Yeah. But then you've got Never Too Late, which is still in my top 10 Kylie tracks of all time.
We were discussing recently, Never Too Late is one of the kind of sort of underrated pop gems. Like, people should be talking about it more. It's such a great song.
And the video as well was light years ahead of its time.
Groundbreaking.
Sorry for saying light years as a pun there, but yeah.
Christian's going to ready to explode. Look at him.
I didn't want Christian to get too excited because I said light years.
Well, you didn't see a disco needy, and then I would have actually been just a puff of smoke. that video is very good. But we were saying recently, Kieran and I, that, you know, she's dressed in a lovely kind of Japanese outfit. She'd probably be accused of cultural appropriation.
And the Je ne sais pas pourquoi video would probably have her thrown.
Well, thinking being French, yeah, you're right. And that whole body language art, which she should be cancelled for anyway. She could read.
Shoddy language.
Body language.
She should release. I was going to. What's that song called?
I was going to cancel.
Thank you.
Am I going to get cancelled?
Well, that could be. That would be great.
Yeah. Am I going to get cancelled?
How many times have you seen her live?
Too many. Not too many. There's no such thing. A lot, should we say.
Do you travel when she tours? Are you the one that goes to every city and every venue?
No, I don't travel for her, but I do kind of see as many times in the one venue as possible.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, now that she does kind of one night at one venue, it's only once. But for Showgirl Homecoming, for example, I think I saw her four times at Wembley Arena. Right. And then Aphrodite, I think I saw her three, maybe four times at O2. Same for X.
So you saw her over here. So
yes.
When was Aphrodite?
Aphrodite was 2011. So I moved back. So it was just before I moved back to Australia.
I still think Aphrodite is like five years ago. It doesn't feel
I know. It's horrendous, isn't it? That it's 11 years ago, 10 years ago.
It's insane.
Yeah,
time goes very quickly.
Sorry, you go, Kristen.
I was just going to say, obviously, you kind of grew up with all that perky Kylie stuff, and you're right. Rhythm of Love is good for the. I mean, I love Rhythm of Love for the four singles and the other kind of Stock Aitken Waterman ones. I didn't really warm to the American ones quite so much, but in retrospect, I like it.
One boy, girl.
I liked it at the time. I did like it at the time. And actually, I heard the extended version the other day for some reason. I don't know why it came up on my phone, but it was playing. And I thought, God, you know what? It's actually really good. Now I listen to it with fresh ears. It sounds, I appreciate it. I think it was a big change from what I was used to. And suddenly you had this kind of slightly R&B sounding kind of music, which was a little bit kind of like, oh, that's weird. But because it wasn't tinkly pop. But I can't remember the point of the story. What I was going to say was, having grown up with that lovely kind of PWL sound, what did you make of the kind of deconstruction years? Because you had one minute you had dance Crazy Dance Kylie, which was a little bit, sometimes it could go a little bit too dancey. And then he had kind of Introspective Kylie, which was occasionally dirgy.
Dirgy Kylie. as my pretentious music mind kind of did, I actually, after Let's Get To It, I did kind of drift away from Kylie for a while as I just kind of discovered grunge and indie. So it honestly, I kind of forgot about her for some of the deconstruction era.
Except Confiding Me, Princess, obviously. Right? Did you like Impossible Princess?
I did. That's actually, funnily enough, where I came back. So the kind of from Let's Get To It, KM94, Confiding Me aside, which I continue to be obsessed with, and that kind of made it into my kind of indie playlists and whatnot. I was actually a massive fan of the Manic Street Preachers. So when Impossible Princess was released, I was very, very interested. Yeah, so I was back to it. I did not warm to KM94 at all.
Even now in retrospect?
Even now in retrospect, I don't love it, but I can see why it's wonderful. It's actually, funnily enough, something that I'm desperate for Kylie to do, and I can't believe she hasn't actually done it since that era, is to do an album produced by Steve Anderson.
Yeah, just him.
How amazing would that be? Yes, yeah. Just him.
And that's the thing, when you've got an artist with one producer and you're focusing on writing an album, you get greater songs because you're working together, you're creating something that you kind of want it all to kind of work together, as opposed to these mishmash of different producers, and we don't really get that.
Well, that's what some people say Aphrodite was so successful, right, in terms of that sound, because it was Stuart Price going all the way.
Yeah.
You say that, and I don't think some of the songs were kind of, if you hadn't told me, I'm a terrible Kylie fan for saying this, I didn't really appreciate at the time that he had been brought in to do that as a whole. Listening to that album, I would have thought it was a whole load of different people because it had that awful Better Than Today. And it had songs that just didn't, they were complete, again, it was a mishmash of different sounds.
I don't agree.
I would
have a drink after that bit.
No, controversially, I would actually say that is one of my least favorite Kylie albums. I prefer X to that. I almost dare I say, actually, I was going to say Body Language. Of course, Body Language is rubbish. I prefer Fever to Aphrodite, and I don't like Fever. I think Aphrodite had a couple of great songs. I love Closer, I love Aphrodite and the singles. But except obviously Better Than Today, that's terrible.
She was sucked in by Better Than Today because it went down so well on the For Me, For You tour. So I think she was led to believe that it was single worthy. That's my impression anyway, if that's the only explanation for it.
That's the tour in America, right? That one?
Yes.
Yeah, so they probably, Americans don't really have a Kylie ear. So because that's one that sounds like Sister Sisters, right?
Yeah.
No, apologies to all our American listeners out there for Christian's comment.
No, but you know what? They don't have the same ear. They don't like perky pop.
See, I love it when I hear an American loving Kylie. It's, I don't know why. It's kind of, I feel like I found a diamond in the rough kind of thing. It's like, oh wow, you're one of only 10 people out there.
That's what we've discovered. Listen, meeting all these people, all the Fanoogs, and especially the American ones, and you know, it is so rare for them. They haven't been brought up on a diet of Kylie, so they've had to find her, or they come across her by accident, and then they do the research, and then they discover.
Yeah.
So that's the aspect of this, talking to people is so lovely, to find out how people have kind of stumbled across her.
They've earned her, haven't they? Americans, because they've had to find her.
Yeah,
I do feel like we're in a great position because we were there from the beginning, so we own her. They're just they're guests.
Exactly. It's like when she says, for some of you, it is a lifetime. I'm kind of like, yeah.
All the craggy old people out in the audience.
Exactly. Yeah. All the 40-something gays are like, yay.
So can I ask you, what was your thoughts on the Kiss of Life video?
I love it. I love it. It's like a... it's like an acting challenge on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh my, so yes!
It looked as well shot as well.
Oh my God, it totally was. That's a great analogy.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like RuPaul 2 minutes before was saying, for this week's maxi challenge, you're gonna have a food fight over music in London restaurant.
She did have a food fight, unfortunately.
I
love the video. I thought it shows Kylie, her fun is the facial expressions.
Oh, the eyes when the hand gets pulled out, just it kills me every time.
It harks back to that classic Danny versus Kylie cat fight on that TV special, which is one of my favorite.
Over Simon Cowell. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of my favorite TV moments. That was Kylie at her comedic best.
She's got good acting chops, that one, for comedy. But
she should do more comedy. Except when she was doing all those things on the Kylie videos back in the 80s, where they showed all those awful clips on those Australian programmes where, you know, the one...
The Henderson kids.
With the dots, she had the freckles.
The Comedy Company, which was amazing. She played Kylie Mole's best friend. Like, literally, it's iconic.
And no offence to Australians, but they're not funny. Oh, you're there. You must know.
Apologies to all Australians listening for Christian's comment.
I don't know. Some of those...
Apology accepted.
I don't know. But those clips were never funny on those videos. Honestly.
No, they were terrible.
So, going as Kylie the actress, what would be your favourite performance by Kylie in a film?
Oh, well, there's so many to choose from, isn't there? I've got to go with Holy Motors, you know. I can't believe that there wasn't this massive song and dance about this cheesy, in inverted commas, pop star doing a French film, performing believably in French. Like, all of her dialogue is French. And there was not a song and dance made about this. Like, meanwhile, Madonna wins a Golden Globe for Evita. Apologies to all Madonna fans.
the apology episode. We apologize for everything.
Yeah,
I need to see it.
Yeah, it's
you've not seen it? Oh, no, very good. Well, no, it's very pretentious, but she's brilliant in it. She's really
I prefer Kylie's cameo work, you know, when she's in 30 seconds in San Andreas.
Moulin Rouge.
You know, 5 minutes.
Oh, she was fantastic in San Andreas.
Oh my God, so camp. She dies in Holy Motors.
Spoilers. Yeah, spoiler alert.
Apologies to anyone who's not seen Holy Motors.
Oh, I'm kind of Andrea. And cut.
Oh, yes, cut. Oh my gosh, she dies in a lot of her films.
She does in all of her films.
Oh, literally, the critics will tell you that.
I don't want to say her career dies in all of her films.
Oh, yeah.
So, let's get back to the music.
If it wasn't Holy Motors, it would be Street Fighter. There you go.
No. You're joking, right?
It's a proper main
role. I love Street Fighter. It's so terrible.
Oh, my God. I didn't watch it again. I didn't really watch it since it came out, and I didn't like it because it wasn't... Again, I went in with expecting too much. I probably like it now. It's probably quite camp, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. Terribly camp.
Well, make it on Blu-ray. Watch it in clarity.
So, going back to the music.
Oh, yes.
Disco. Was Disco your penultimate Kylie album? Was this what you've waited your whole entire life for, or were you a little bit let down by it?
No. If you were to ask me what my favourite Kylie album is, I would say Disco.
Oh.
Mm. Okay. It was the album I've been waiting for sure. I've got a friend back in the UK, and I always kind of try and hammer him about listening to Kylie. And I said to him, have you heard her new album? And he said to me, is it true she's never done a disco album? This just doesn't make any sense. Why is it called Disco? I just think it's because Cohesive Kylie, as we kind of mentioned, is the best Kylie. And I think this is by far her most cohesive album.
But then on the disco tip, obviously Lightyear's had a similar kind of flavour. What did you make of that album? Was that one of your favourite ones?
At the time, Lightyear's kind of brought me back into the pop world, really. So yeah, it was a very big album for me at the time. I will say it's probably two or three songs too long for me. Ooh. Lightyears. I don't like the last three, not including Lightyears. Lightyears obviously is amazing, but you've got Kids.
That's you're So High and
Under the Influence of Love and Kids.
True. I mean, they're almost like bonus tracks, aren't they, in a way?
Yeah.
I only found out the other day that what's it called? You're So High. I'm So High.
Yeah, You're So High.
It's a cover.
Yeah, and so is Under the Influence of Love.
But yeah, that's a Barry White one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I didn't realise. And I also found out that M People song on that terrible 94 album is a cover as well.
She's done so many covers.
Yeah, but I didn't realize. I thought they'd written that song for her because it sounded so awful. But I just realized they put that terrible production on it. It's like awful production.
Well, her career started with a cover. Remember The Locomotion, right? The Australian.
Only the British. We don't listen to that, not that tinny demo.
God. What should she be doing next, Steve?
I think an album with Steve Anderson, because I think they just work so well together. Everything they produce together right now just turns to gold. And so I think an album would be the cherry on the icing on the cake.
Should it be around the same disco elk, or should she be going into more kind of grime?
I don't think grime.
So I really want
a grime album with Steve Anderson. Perfect. Let's do it.
Do you think she should team up like with Nicki Minaj? Because everyone seems to. Would you like to see?
No, I don't think
for Pauline. I mean, Jazzy P.
I don't think Kylie should go anywhere near R&B or an American sounding album. It just does her zero favors. You know, you've got Shoddy Language, Kiss Me Once.
Kiss Me Flops.
It's always the flops. And then X as well, because you've got All I See on there. It's just whenever she tries to crack the American market, it just ends in a big failure. When nobody kind of realized that Fever cracked an American market. So it's like, why is she trying to be R&B?
That's the thing about Kylie. I've always thought that her charm, and obviously she's Australian, but her charm is music was always quite British. It's got a kind of Englishness to it, Britishness to it, that is kind of, I mean, some of it is a little bit tongue-in-cheek, some of it, it's very of itself, it doesn't sound like an American sound, it's very British, and I think when she kind of leaves that behind, that's when people, that isn't, her music and her together make a perfect combination. Then you try and throw in these other sounds, and it doesn't quite work. So, yeah she should stick to what she knows best, which she does.
Yeah.
She's kind of gone back to that, so.
Exactly, yeah. And now, so last two albums have been really cohesive, really well thought out. She's a great songwriter, it's turning out as well, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
She wrote every song, or co-wrote every song on Golden, co-wrote every song on Disco. I think she has to continue that trend of co-writing every song, which I think she will.
Yeah.
Did she co-write the two duets that she's done so far for the brand new Disco album?
Yes, she did. Yeah, I looked on Spotify's sort of song credits. She's on there as one of the co-writers for both.
Yeah.
Were you disappointed with the whole three new tracks on this expanded? Because I know I've got 18 copies of Disco. Now I've got another couple coming of all exactly the same songs. I'm just a little bit annoyed.
Yeah. It's funny, Kieran. You actually ruined it for me because... I saw the track listing and everything that she was offering, and I was really excited. I was saying to a friend, look at everything that's on there. There's all these remixes. There's these three duets. We're finally getting Infinite Disco as a CD and a DVD. And then you're just like, three new tracks?
Like, literally, I felt like a sucker punch. Like, it's a slap in the face with a wet
dish. And I was like, oh, God, he's right.
I was hoping we'd get you know, some of the versions from Infinite Disco, like is it Slow that has the Diana Ross sample in it, or the
Donna Summer.
Oh, sorry,
the Love to Love You Baby one, right?
Yeah, I would love to have heard a recorded version of that on this. I thought we could have had a few more of those, and I would have liked to have done a couple of disco covers, but done in a clever way.
Yeah, that would have been really quite tremendous. And that's another thing. Apart from Kylie Live in New York, we've never really got the Steve Anderson live versions or studio versions, have we? Mm. We got three of them on there, but I think a whole album of them would be absolutely lovely, very well received.
Mm. Kind of like doing an Abbey Road version of her songs done in disco.
Yes. Genius. Yeah. Oh, could you imagine?
Yes, like a Hand in Your Heart disco club banger.
Can't wait to hear the kids version on the disco live because it's coming. We all know it's coming.
Exactly. She knows it. But obviously, someone needs to tell her. Like, we've spoken to Finogues from across the world. It's one of the most detested songs in her repertoire, but yet it's still performed.
It's for the girls.
We all go nuts when she performs it, though. We're all doing this, aren't we?
She has it on the set list at the point where most people are paralytic, so they won't care. They don't care what they listen to.
Suppose you need a song for the toilet break, right? Always by the end. You need a song
to go to the loo. It's always where I go to the toilet.
Yeah.
But all those girls are left there. It's a girl song. And, you know, she's doing it for the girls. Otherwise, those women who grew up with Kylie have to listen to all that high energy gay shit. So, when I say that, I mean, you know, classic kids. I'm standing up for the girls right now.
Good on you. Someone's
I can't bear that song. I love all the high energy gay shit. So, it's what made me who I am.
Oh, God. So, what would you say to her if she joined this conversation now?
Oh, being British and hating showing my emotion, I would probably say something really awful, like, do you want to get drunk and talk about boys?
Oh, God. Oh, my God, amazing.
Yeah, so it's like, rather than like the whole thank you, you've been a soundtrack to my life. I don't think
you have that conversation with her, it'd be quite miserable because most of them have been such disasters.
I know. Well, that's what it'd be like. Let's talk about boys.
Spill the tea.
Yeah, let's talk about your disastrous love life.
Okay. Put up the list. And James Gooding?
Yeah, oh, James Gooding. Shall I tell you my story about James Gooding?
Totally.
So this is 2000, spinning around, had just started to hit the radio. So she was kind of semi having a comeback. I was a duty manager in a cinema in London while I was at film school. And James Gooding and Kylie came in. And they came, there's a kind of cafe bar, it's the Curzon Soho in Shaftesbury Avenue.
So,
and there's a cafe on the ground floor, and they came in, and I kind of made my way to the bar to serve them. And they wanted lunch, so I've made lunch for Kylie. There you go.
What does she have?
She had a mozzarella, sun-dried tomato and pesto sandwich. There you go. And I overwhelmed her with bread selections. So I was just like, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? And and then James Gooding turned to me and said, how does it feel to be making lunch for an A-list celebrity?
No. I know. She was there.
Yeah.
How embarrassing.
Yeah. So Kylie and I just kind of looked at each other, just both really mortified. And then,
what did you say?
I said nothing. In my head, I was saying B-list because she hadn't made her comeback yet.
Bitch.
No, but I felt so bad for her because she was clearly mortified and did not like appreciate him saying that because, you know, she's quite low profile and whatnot. And she had a glass of house red. There you go. Day drinking.
He might have been her affirmator. Like, because I was with a celebrity, I was like working with a celebrity years ago in America, and he had a personal affirmator on his staff that would tell him you were the king. You were, maybe he's just, he was that for Kylie, like an affirmator. Mm. Like,
but then he cheated on her, didn't he, with Sophie Thomas?
Yes. Oh, well, yeah, cool. But that seems to be like a bit of a common theme, though, because Joshua Sasse, for example, I mean, he claimed not to know who Kylie was. He's 27, 28. And whether you're a Kylie fan or not, you know who Kylie is. It's part of, you know, it's like Coronation Street, you know who Kylie is. So I'm assuming that these people kind of jump on the Kylie bandwagon because she's famous, I guess. And for someone to say something like that, that's that horrible awareness that she's celebrity. Even, I mean, if you're a proper boyfriend, you would never say that. You could just,
no,
you pretend she was nobody, or you,
yeah, exactly,
sit down and you go and get the stuff for her.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, no, then he did that a few weeks later. So it came into the cinema again. Yeah, back in again. And this time I was in the box office. I seem to find myself wherever James Gooding is. I was sitting in the box office and he came up and ordered two tickets for a show that night. So this is really terrible and you probably won't want to actually air this part. But as kind of revenge for what he said, I put them in the house seats, which is right in the middle of the cinema in full view of everyone as they walk in. Yeah, and he came in and then she came in, this little 5 foot trench coat. Just kind of coming into the cinema, and I was like, "Oh God, I did it."
What were they watching?
Gosford Park. Yeah. Oh, so the second time they saw Gosford Park, yeah, I remember. My memory for stupid things is ridiculous. And the first time they came in when they had lunch, they came in to see a documentary called One Day in September,
okay,
about the German Olympics.
All right.
Nothing. Well, nothing must have been on TV that day.
Yeah, exactly.
How come she was going there? Or it seemed to be like a local, a place you went to quite a lot. How come was that local?
Yeah, it was quite a celebrity cinema. We used to have a lot of people come in. It wasn't.
Oh, really?
It wasn't. It wasn't unusual to have a pop star or a movie star. Everybody, whenever people were in from Hollywood, they would come to our cinema to see a film. It was very strange. I don't know why. They just
they've redesigned that cafe now. It doesn't look as nice as it used to. The little downstairs part. They've kind of stripped it of all its character. It's not very nice.
Oh, have they?
Yeah.
There was talk that it was going to get ripped down for the train line.
Mm. No, it's still there, but they've kind of just in the past maybe 2 years, they changed, because I used to go there a little bit for a while just writing in there. And then just walking past it recently, it's just kind of like horrible plastic looking wood tables. It doesn't look quite as charming anymore.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, it's a shame.
So, Steve, last question we've got for you. So now you're a fully fledged Aussie citizen. Now that Carly's moving to Australia, if she's listening, send her some tips on what she should do in Sydney.
I don't know, because we've been in lockdown for so long. I don't know what there is to do anymore.
Are you guys still in lockdown?
No, we came out a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, I'd say lockdown. We had like a really easy time of it compared to Melbourne and compared to the UK.
Yeah.
What should she do? Well,
go to Bar Kylie, right?
She should go to Bar Kylie, yeah. Where are we? Well, there'll be a Christmas one soon, so maybe they'll get her in.
Maybe.
Who knows? Could you imagine? If Kylie was at Bar Kylie. Arkanaut wouldn't know what to do with himself.
Well, that needs to happen. They need to do that. They should do a welcome. I assume they're going to welcome home party, I guess. So
I think so. Well, yeah. I'm sure the Bar Kylie will be a big welcome home extravaganza.
I wonder if she'll be back for Mardi Gras next year, because she's back.
Well, apparently she's already based there. She's already moved. Oh, but she's been back in London already. So...
Oh, God,
that's what I mean. I think literally her furniture is there and that's it.
Yeah.
And she's just gone back again.
Amazing. Oh, well, Steve, thank you so, so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, my God, you've been a pleasure to chat to. It's been amazing.
It's great fun. No, I'm really, really, really happy to be here. It's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, Nathan, what story Steve has to tell us there.
Amazing.
I always knew James was a bit of a dodgy one.
Mm. Yeah, I heard a story about him too. Someone who does my hair actually met Kylie when she was dating James, and she was sitting down with some friends, and Kylie joined their group, and she sat down and she said, "Hi, my name's Kylie," and she was really down to earth, and she didn't assume that anyone knew who she was, and but she said she was very smitten with James, and that everyone knew that he was a tool.
Oh, and what happened to him? Because I haven't really seen him since.
I think he's a bit large now. Doesn't
look. Oh, really?
Similar. Yes.
Oh, God, that's interesting. It's funny, all of her exes disappeared, don't they? Because where's Joshua Sasse?
Oh, well, he remarried and they had a baby, I think, right?
I know, but I don't see him anywhere. He was kind of doing...
He's not doing anything professional.
Well, there you go. Well, he wasn't doing anything professional with Kylie either. He was being a rat. Oh, God, he was another one. He was at that Christmas show.
Oh, he came out dressed up as a snowman. He was very cringy.
With a bunch of flowers.
Yeah. You could tell he was just riding on her coattails, wasn't he?
I never understood how anyone of any age could say he'd never heard of Kylie Minogue, because regardless of that, how old you are, you will always know who she is because she's part of popular culture. You just know these things. And he works in the entertainment world. Of course, you know who Kylie Minogue is.
Didn't it come out that a friend of his came out and said that he was a liar and that he actually had a poster of her in his bedroom growing up?
Oh, he's absolutely awful.
Yeah.
You know, the one bad thing about her dumping him is you'll never get to see that lovely Christmas video anymore because he's in it. Kylie, learn a lesson. If you ever have a boyfriend in there, make him wear a mask or just have him in scenes where you can cut him out quite easily. Yeah, because he was all over that video. Oh, God, there's another bit where they stand outside, there's all that fake snow and he's kissing her. Well, yeah, you know what? I'm going to hunt it down and have a watch and love to hate him while watching it. Yeah, it'd be lovely. But yes, if anyone out there wants to be like Steve and join Kieran and I for a hot and steamy three-way, then please drop us a little line at thekyliesmileypodcast@gmail.com or the Diminutive Collection on Instagram, and then we'll get back to you at some point. We're still welcoming all comers. You don't have to send any pictures. It's fine. fine. You just have to explain to us why you think you should be on the show and what Kylie means to you. That's all we need to know. And that's all that we need. Yes, I don't think there's anything else I've got to say, Nathan. Have you got anything else to say?
I'm afraid I don't really have anything to add.
All I want to say is, Kieran, please come back, because I can't do this. I'm not good at carrying a show like you do. Honestly, I sometimes listen to Kieran speaking during the episode, and I kind of get so waylaid by his deep Australian lilt. I'm swooning, and I forget what I have to say. So it's you really do notice the difference when he's not here. I wonder if he's picking up any American-released Kylie memorabilia, if there's any over there. I wonder.
Maybe if the record runner is still in the West Village and they're open.
Oh.
That used to go to place for Kylie imports.
I'm sure he'll come back with his arms full of presents, going to places like Jason Donovan was, arms full of presents, going to places. What's the next line? I can remember. Anyway, thank you for joining us, Nathan. It's been thank very kind of you to be my my sidekick this week. I'm sure we'll have you on again in the new year. And if we don't see you before then, have a lovely Christmas and have a lovely new year.
Yes, have a happy Christmas and new year to you too.
Well, we'll see what happens. Okay, see ya.
Bye.